leaders said last night that the president and they agreed to preserve the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program by making it law, without necessarily providing funding for a border wall. Trump had tweeted earlier today that any deal on immigrants has to be tied to a massive border security package, adding as he was boarding that chopper,
92% of the people agree on DACA. But what we want is we want very, very powerful border security.
Trump commenting as he and the First Lady were leaving the White House to head south to Florida to view damage from Hurricane Irma. He says they'll be meeting with first responders as well as members from FEMA. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and for their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
One student's killed, three others wounded in a shooting at a high school near Spokane, Washington yesterday. From Spokane, reporter Dave Spencer has more on the story.
The shooter pulled out a gun and it jammed. The shooter then grabbed a second gun that he had brought to school. He was then confronted by another student, and that's when that student was shot and killed by the alleged shooter. The alleged shooter is now in custody at the Spokane County Detention Center. The three injured students are recovering.
The sheriff there says the shooting may have stemmed from bullying. The U.S. government is ending the use of any software made by a Russian cybersecurity firm. A DHS statement saying that using software by Kaspersky Lab poses a national security threat because of the company's reported connections to the Russian government.
First show, so bear with me. And I'm very excited to welcome Michelle Heidi today to our show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I haven't been on a show in a little while because, as Nicole knows, Joe Patton and I used to have our own show, Some Things About Money. And that show ran for 4 or 5 years, and it was really a lot of fun, and I miss being on the radio, so I was really excited, Nicole, when you asked me to be a guest on your show today for your kickoff show. And I'm excited for you to have the show ongoing because I think you'll be covering lots of great information, lots of good guests, and all that other stuff. So I'm excited to tune in every week.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being here to help me because I know you know how to work all the controls and you're very adept at all that. So it's good to have a helping hand here as I start this new endeavor. And you also do the financial update every morning here on the show, correct, with
yes,
Chris?
Yes, I do. On the Good Morning Huntington show, Chris Bianco, who's been doing that for many, many years from 8 to 10 at 8:30 every morning, he and I talk about updates in the markets, what to expect, what's happened, and yeah, we really have a lot of fun every morning at 8:30. So that's something that I enjoy continuing to do every single day.
Great. And you were also a very natural choice for a first guest because you are a voracious volunteer, and I don't know how you do all that you do, but we could go hours and hours talking about everything that you do for other people. And so why don't we start with what you've done for, I know one of the things you've done is Girls on the Run mm-hmm. with your daughter, and can you tell us a little bit about that? That's a national program, and how you're involved in that and what that entails.
No, absolutely. So Girls on the Run, as you mentioned, is a national program. It started down in North Carolina, and let's see, 4 or 5 years ago, one of the moms at the school came to myself and another mom and said, you know, there hasn't been a Girls on the Run program here in a few years. We're looking for some energetic coaches to bring it back up. And, you know, of course, we're like, well, gee, what's the time commitment? What's it all about? That type of thing. So we went through the training. We learned a lot about the organization and how it's really designed. You know, a lot of times people think of Girls on the Run as being it's just about running. And running is just a kind of a byproduct. It's really about talking about different things that girls and boys, too, have to deal with on a daily basis, whether it's talking about self-image, feelings, emotions, bullying, you know, many different topics. And so each lesson is designed around a topic. We do some exercises, and then we usually wrap up by running together. And, you know, there are girls that start the program that have never run at all, and there are girls that run on a regular basis. But, again, it's not really about the running. It's more about being there for each other and supporting each other. And at the end of the season, we run in a 5K, which is so much fun, especially when you get to see the girls that, you know, thought that they were bad runners or they had never run before, you know, to cross the finish line. It's really just so, so rewarding as a coach to see that. So it's really been a lot of fun. We started with Girls on the Run, which is grades 3 through 5, and grades 6 through 8 is a program called Heart and Soul, which kind of expands upon some of the topics, you know, in a little bit more detail about some of the issues that they face during that age range as they're starting to get into their beginning of their teenage years.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's a crucial time, is to have some self-confidence, to be active. And there's always a lesson plan that goes along with it, right? Like you said,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a lesson, a run, a discussion. It's a very comprehensive program that's great for adolescent girls.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it's comprehensive. And as a coach, one of the things that I liked was the fact that it's plug and play. Like, you know, we go through the lesson plan. There's nothing we have to come up with because it's already put together and designed for us. So we go through the lesson plan, a lot of discussion. You know, at the older ages, the girls get to be a little bit more participatory as far as helping lead some of the lessons and things like that, which also starts putting them in positions of learning a little bit more about leadership and all those types of things. And then another part of the curriculum is actually giving back. They get to come up with a project on something that they want to do in the community as a means of giving back and helping out. You know, so one year they wanted to collect cat food for Tabby's Place. You know, we went over one day and delivered all the food, and they got to play and pet all the cats and things like that. And you know, lots of different things like that in the community, which is really a lot of fun.
That's good. So you're instilling a value of volunteerism from an early age, right? Which I advocate.
Absolutely.
Which is what my parents did with me. And so here I am, you know, 50 years later or whatever, doing the same.
Why don't you share a little bit about your story? This is your kickoff show. So why don't you let the audience know a little bit more about your background? You mentioned lifelong volunteer, which is definitely for sure who you are.
Okay. Well, you're the star, but I'll give a little background. So I grew up in the Midwest in Iowa, and volunteering was a part of our family from the get-go, with my parents and the JCs, and volunteering with taking the trick-or-treat box for UNICEF when I was trick-or-treating. I worked in the hospital as a candy striper with my grandmother delivering the mail, and various opportunities that came along during college and after college. And I just always found it very rewarding on so many levels to volunteer. And that's why when the opportunity to have a show about volunteerism and encouraging other people to volunteer, regardless of how much time you have or where you are or where you are in your life or what you're doing, it's good to just kind of get your feet wet with something. And it really can be so fulfilling in so many levels.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And I just can't get enough of this stuff. I get so excited about it. And through the different groups that I've involved in, I realize there are so many people doing so many wonderful things in their communities and around the world that I wanted to showcase that and highlight that and show people how you don't have to devote hours and hours every week to volunteering. You can do it. You can create your own portfolio, your own time frame to do it. It doesn't take much. So
no, absolutely. Absolutely. And as you mentioned, there's lots of good going on in the world, and I wish the news would highlight that a little bit more.
Correct. Right. This is we're all about positivity.
Yes,
here,
exactly.
For sure. Yes. And we met through a volunteer opportunity I'm involved with called Room to Read, because I reached out to you. For some reason, the universe brought us together. I kept staring at your picture in the Natural Awakenings magazine, and I was like, I need to call her. And of course, you called me right back, and the rest is history. But and then you also invited me to. Can you explain the spring leadership seminar that you run every spring, which is coming out? Spring will be here before we know it, even
Hopefully,
though it doesn't feel like it. But I you know, we talked about girls, and now I want to. I'm going to bebop all over the place here, but I love that leadership seminar, and want you to talk more about what the, because that's associated with the chamber as well.
Absolutely. So through the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, one of the committees is the Women's Business Forum, and we really focus on educating women and men in the community about current events, topics, issues that people are dealing with. And so every year we do a leadership summit, and the topics, you know, each year you know, change. Last year, we really focused on moving women forward in business, and we talked a lot about social responsibility, how women can get more involved, and how, you know, it's important to continue to take steps forward and not taking steps back. And it was really interesting because there were several men there, and there always are, which is great. And some of the feedback from the summit was that, you know, from a male perspective, they want to hear more things like that because they want to know how they should be viewing the women in their workplace, in their surrounding, you know, those types of things. So it was really, it's always a lot of fun. And we're still in the planning stages for this year's summit, which will be taking place in April. So once I have all the details, obviously we'll be sharing that with everybody. But it's really a lot of fun. It's a good committee. We're a small but mighty committee in coming up with the speakers and the content and everything. And then throughout the year, we do lunch and learns, which we try to kind of piggyback from some of the learnings from the summit itself. So we're really excited about those as well. So once we have the calendars up and running, we have a meeting next week. So hopefully we'll have the date pinpointed for the summit, which will be in April at some point.
Okay, great. Yeah. I look forward to it every year because it's always a really good networking opportunity and great speakers, breakout sessions. I always learn quite a bit from that. So
as I look forward to it. Yeah. Yeah, it's really a lot of fun.
And you also have a history with Rotary International, which is an ancient, iconic organization of doing wonderful things. And so you were president of that for several years. So we can talk about, we'll segue into Rotary for a little bit and what that's all about and what you've done with that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So as you mentioned, Rotary is a global organization. They've been around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I had first heard about Rotary when I first started in my business, which was 26 years ago. And I went to a meeting and I left the meeting feeling like, this is just a bunch of old guys having lunch together. And so that was my first taste of Rotary. Fortunately, Rotary International has evolved and changed so much since that time. And so a few years ago, a new club was started in our area. It was called an e-club. And it was really designed for busy professionals that have families that are already actively involved in a lot of things but wanted to become Rotarians but didn't necessarily have the time commitment to do a traditional Rotary club, which typically meets once a week for breakfast or lunch and, you know, focuses on projects within the community, those types of things. So the e-club, again, actually it was started at this point, I think it was 5 years ago, which is hard to believe. And, you know, we went through growing pains, as does any new segment of an organization. But basically we all said, you know what, we just want to be hands available for whatever's needed. You know, a lot of the current local Rotary clubs have some great projects going on. And so we said, you know, we'll show up, be the helping hands wherever you need us. Tell us where to be, and we're there to help. And so this past year, we started our first project of our own that Nicole Voigt came up with, and it's called Hikes Not Heroin. And so we did our first hike, and it was really to provide awareness about the huge epidemic that's going on, not only in our community, but, you know, again, that too is a global issue.
Correct.
And so it was a really, really interesting day of meeting others in the community that are either have been affected by heroin or are members of the community that are involved with nonprofits that are focusing on educating the public, you know, things like that. So it was really, really an interesting, you know, first project of our own.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the e-club sounds so interesting, and that proves our point, is that if you're a busy professional and you're not sure how to get involved and you can't go to meetings, then you can join some kind of e-club, especially an e-Rotary club. And the Rotarians are a great group, so you should look and see if there is a Rotary club that either meets or meets online in your area, because when I was doing some speaking raise awareness for Room to Read, I reached out to a lot of Rotary clubs, and I had so much fun. And I got free lunch out of it, so it's great. But the one of the really, really fun clubs was Morristown.
Oh.
And what they do is they have a big club, and they're all very busy and have different schedules. So they, for their monthly meeting, they have a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner all on the same day. And so you go to whatever one you can make that day.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. So I was very busy that day because I got to go to
all three
and speak, and it was really, really fun. So
cool.
So Rotary International, and even through stuff with my kids, I've met parents who were international exchange students through Rotary.
Sure.
There's scholarships available through Rotary. So Excuse me, if you're not familiar with Rotary International, it's not an old men's lunch club
anymore. It's no longer the old men's lunch club. It's so much more. And as you mentioned, Rotarians in general are just such giving, wonderful people. I mean, I've just, you know, talked to so many people from across the globe, and just the stories and the places they've been and all of the good work that they've done. It's just, you know, really warms your heart.
I know. It is a really fun organization. And you mentioned the opioid epidemic, and my daughter at school, they have a common book program where they all the freshmen read one book together. And okay. This year it was, I think it's called Dreamland.
Oh.
And it was by a guy from Ohio, where part of the crux of the problem is, okay. is very, very prominent there.
Oh.
And I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but she brought it home. So hopefully I can just, it's gotten really great reviews, and it kind of goes to the heart of the issue. You want to dig deeper into learning more about the whole issue. But that's great that you're doing something about it. I mean, that the hikes in, what was it, hikes in heroin?
Hikes not heroin.
Hikes not heroin.
encouraging people to get outside and you know, enjoy nature and, you know, have other people to talk to and not feel like they're alone if they're, you know, if they themselves or someone they know has been affected.
Yeah, and Governor Christie's had plenty of ads on TV about that and bringing awareness, so hopefully everybody will turn it around.
Yeah, it's really scary.
We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back for more with Michelle Heide.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back with Michelle Heide of Patton Heide Associates. I'm not sure how close we were listening to those ads, but Michelle's business was one of the ads that just played. And I would like to go into that a little bit. As you're a business owner of a financial planning business, do you have any recommendations, or what do you tell your clients about planning for donations, either currently or for retirement, or making that part of their financial plan?
No, absolutely. It's a big part of it. I have, you know, actually it's interesting, you know, they always say you tend to attract people that are like yourself. So a lot of my clients are very actively involved in the community, you know, whether it's the food pantry, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, you know, many different organizations, and it might be through time, it might be through monetary donations, you know, whatever the case may be, but it's definitely something that we talk about when we're going through their budget. No one likes the word budget, but as we go through their cash flow and everything, because there are sometimes you know, people, it's interesting, sometimes people don't want to disclose what they're giving. They're afraid that, you know, their advisor is going to be like, well, why are you giving so much money to such and such? And that's really not the case, because I absolutely believe that, you know, people who give back are happier. And you and I know, yep. You know, you read all the studies that have shown that the happiest people are the people that do give back to their community. Again, whether it's through time, talent, or resources, and or all three, it just feels good. And, you know, sometimes I get the question, well, how do we find a charity? You know, so if someone maybe, you know, they worked hard all their life, they were working so many hours that they didn't have time at that time, and now that they're retired, they're trying to figure out what to do. And I always say, you know, start with what you're passionate about. You know, what do you like? I mean, so when I got the call from you and you talked about Room to Read, I'm like, oh, my God, that's right up my alley. I constantly have stacks of books sitting next to me, and I can't wait to start the next one and all that kind of stuff. And then when I read John Wood's book, and when you and I talked, it was just a natural fit as far as something for me to get involved with. And I say the same thing to clients. You know, do your research, you know, find the things that you're passionate about, follow them. And then from a donation standpoint, you know, there's been a lot of attention in the media as far as certain organizations that people had been donating to. They're like, well, wait a minute, where is my money really going? And so charitynavigator.org, in my opinion, is a good resource to go to, because basically, it's like a report card for charities, and they provide ratings on the financials, the accountability and transparency, the income statement, how the key folks are compensated, and then from an expense standpoint, it breaks down how much of your money is actually going towards programs and helping whatever the cause is, how much is towards administration, how much is towards fundraising, and that way you can do your due diligence as far as, okay, you know, can I continue to feel good about those organizations that I'm contributing to? And same thing, if you're not sure who to contribute to, it also allows you to search and figure out, you know, some of the things that you may not have even been aware of, because most people are aware of a lot of the bigger organizations, but there are nonprofits, you know, for just about everything.
Correct. There are a lot of nonprofits. I went to the Art of Thriving had a conference in December, and it was really, really good. It was really well done. Investors Bank puts it on, and it's free. And there were, I think, 300 people there. It was really, really good.
Great.
All people from different area nonprofits. And the one guy that spoke, he was really good. But he said, he goes, if you're thinking about starting a nonprofit in New Jersey, why don't you take a look at the other 430 that are already established and see if they're doing something and you could help them. I mean, yes, everyone's got a niche, and there's different, there's big ones, there's small ones, there's local ones. And there's all kinds of, but do a little research, take some time, do a little research. Or what I've also found is people give to people. So if you have a friend or somebody who's active and passionate about something they're involved in, and then you can grill them on what they're doing and gauge how involved they are and what kind of work they're doing, and kind of get a gut feel check that way to see if that's something you want to help contribute to. And there's also, you just have to be careful, because I think I read somewhere where there's so many organizations, bogus organizations, that just put the name cancer in them. And they collect millions of dollars a year just because by putting cancer in the name of their org. And you have to dig a little deeper to make sure that it's a legitimate 501c3 or...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
and a lot of them sound the same. Oh, yeah. So you might think you're doing one and it's not really the one.
Yeah, they're very clever.
Before you start writing checks and sending money, again, do your due diligence. Make sure it's a legitimate organization, and... so that you know that your hard-earned money is going to what you think it's going to.
Yes.
And then from a financial perspective, another thing that I talk to clients about, especially those that are retired, is that current tax laws allow individuals that once they reach age 70 and a half, where they're required to take minimum distributions from their IRA plans, their 401k plans, which are typically taxable when they take the money out, if you have your required minimum distribution go directly to a charitable organization, there is no tax implication. So a lot of my clients have been setting up, we've been setting those up, especially because, again, most of them were giving donations anyway. So, hey, it's just an additional little tax benefit that's out there that some people aren't even aware of. And then other people nowadays, especially with how well the markets have been doing, a lot of people may own individual stocks or investments that, you know, they bought a long time ago. They're now worth a lot more, and they don't want to sell them because then they have to pay a lot of tax. Well, you can also gift appreciated stock to a charitable organization. It's another way, again, to provide them with some dollars and give you a little bit of a tax break as well. So there are some strategies out there that you can talk to your financial advisor about that will allow you to, you know, feel good, do good, and, you know, save a little bit on taxes. Now, with tax reform, it doesn't appear that any of these strategies have changed, but we're still, you know, the accountants are still digging through all of the details. So hopefully they haven't. At least it sounds like most of the tax benefits related to charitable organizations are staying the way they were. But again, check with your accountant just to make sure.
Yeah, we just did that. My husband is an accountant, and he donated to our church. He donated a bunch of stock that he had 30 years ago as a gift from his dad or something. And so he said, we need to give this to the church. And I also, we also gave a nice chunk to Room to Read because that's
of course he did.
Thanks, honey. So that was my Christmas present, was a donation to Room to Read. So, well, why don't we go into as well, you just obviously are very well aware of the tax code and donations and financial planning. So can you just give us a snapshot of if someone's looking for sound financial planning and they're a giver like you are and like I am, then how would they go? How would an initial meeting go with you if they want some advice about financial planning?
So unlike going to the dentist, and there are a lot of nice dentists out there, not to pick on dentists, but a lot of times people think sitting down with a financial advisor is like going to the dentist. Like, oh my God, they're going to tell me I can't go on vacation, I can't buy coffee, I can't do anything. And it's really not about that. It's really about sitting down and having a conversation. I offer my initial consultation is always complimentary because I don't know you, you don't know me, I don't know if you need a financial advisor. You know, it's all about the relationship. Someone once asked, you know, do you have a minimum? And I said, a minimum what? And they said, well, do you have a minimum dollar amount? And I said, for me, it's more about personality minimums. I only want to work with people that I enjoy working with. You know, life's too short to work with people that you really don't click with. So really that initial meeting is a get-to-know-each-other meeting. I ask tons of questions, so sometimes people are surprised at how many questions I ask because, you know, I'll often get the comment, well, the other person we met with didn't even ask that. They just wanted to see all of our statements. And it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, we don't even look at your statements. We're having a conversation and talking about what's important to you. And you know.
It's a relationship.
It's a relationship, exactly. And a relationship that develops and evolves over time. And so it's really, again, it's a getting to know each other type of meeting where I ask lots of questions. They can pick my brain and ask me lots of questions. I always admit I don't know everything. But I have access to a lot of resources, and if I don't know the answer to something, I'll always be able to research it and get back to you on that. So I love what I do, and
you're lucky. That's
and
awesome.
And as you know, one of my other pet passions is dealing with helping a lot of the millennials and the kids that are just graduating from college, helping them get started on the right foot. You know, it's amazing that, you know, you look at my dad, he worked for a company for 40 years, he retired, got the gold watch, got a nice pension. You know, that's not, you know, the case anymore, especially for younger people entering the work world. You know, the average person by the age of 30 has had 7 different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they move from company to company, they move all around the world, and companies themselves just aren't what they used to be in terms of the robust retirement packages. And that's not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just it is what it is. So it's even more important for young people to start saving as soon as they can. And just automatically paying themselves first before doing anything else, before just spending it all. Because as humans, you know, we're going to spend what we make. So we have to set aside money for ourselves before we start spending everything else.
Good advice.
So I've been meeting with a lot of young folks. Again, it's just something that I enjoy doing because if I can help people one by one, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned to you, I'm about halfway through it because over the break, I was lucky enough to devour a few books. And the one that I'd like to mention is called The Millennial Money Fix.
Oh.
And it's a couple and they're based in Summit and it just came out in August and I'm about halfway through it and it's funny and he's a millennial and his dad actually owned a financial planning business and so I think he kind of followed his dad's foot and he's based in Florida but they're here in New Jersey.
Okay.
And it's funny and it's very simple and it lays it out and he talks about how his wife amassed $200,000 in debt going to law school and you know it's easy to get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. You know they couldn't have foreseen the 2008 recession. I mean, because that's kind of when they were getting out of school. So you just never know. But he lays it all out, and he's got a good dose of humor in there.
Ah.
And so I would highly recommend if you've got millennials, you are a millennial, or if you just want some, you know, read a good book about basic financial planning. I grew up with the attitude where you always you don't spend more than you make. That was just the number one rule.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, so
it makes sense, but it seems like a lot of people don't know what that means.
I know. Or you get sidelined by a great credit offer, or you need to build credit, so you need to spend. I mean, you know, it's but
easy to get caught up.
Yes. So, but the book is very good. I highly recommend that one. All right. Well, let's transition now. Talk a little bit about. We're going to go to commercial break soon, but. With such a busy schedule you have of running a business and a family and making time to volunteer with the chamber and all these other organizations, I guess, well, you and I are both huge Simon Sinek fans.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's very well known for Know Your Why. So I'm going to ask you, Michelle, we can tap on it right here and then go to commercial, but why do you do what you do? Why do you volunteer?
I don't know. I'm just very passionate about helping others. I knew ever since I was a young child that I knew I wanted, you know, when people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't know exactly what I wanted to be, but I knew I wanted to do something where I was helping people. I didn't know at the age of 6 that I was going to be a financial advisor.
Yeah.
But I always knew the importance of helping others and finding something that you're passionate about. Because then it's not, you know, whether, you know, so in business, it's not work if it's something that you're passionate about. There's nothing worse than talking to people that are like, oh, I have to go to work. It's not fun. I'm like, well, then change it. You have complete control over your destiny, and it's not about the money. I've had so many clients that, you know, have left the big paychecks to find something that they're really passionate about, and guess what? The money just ends up coming anyway. So it's really fun to see that, and, you know, I kind of look at my life as four pillars. You know, you've got family, community, I've got my business, and spirituality. And everything that I do brings all those things together. You know, so in terms of volunteering, I always try and get my kids involved wherever I can so that I'm setting, and my husband and I are setting a good example so that as they continue to grow into young adults and adults, you know, they see the importance of that. I just think it just makes me feel good. I mean, bottom line, I'm very grateful for everything that I have. And so whatever I can do to share, whether it's talent, whether it's expertise, whether it's time, whether it's monetary resources, then that's why I do it.
That sounds great. I'm with you 100% on that. And I love the pillars. So we'll go back to that in a minute. We're going to go to a quick news break, and then we'll be back.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The Trump administration on Tuesday threw the weight of the U.S. government behind the protesters taking to the streets of Iran. President Donald Trump declared it was time for a change in Iran, and other officials floated the possibility of additional sanctions. At the United Nations, Ambassador Nikki Haley sought a Security Council meeting to show support for those protesting in the Islamic Republic.
This is the precise picture of a long-oppressed people rising up against their dictators.
Trump praised the protesters for finally acting against the brutal and corrupt Iranian regime. At least 21 people have died and hundreds have been arrested over 6 days of demonstrations, the largest in Iran since the Green Movement that erupted in 2009 following a disputed presidential election. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Meet the coolest ammo manufacturer in America. Even their name is unique. Bite the Bullet. Bite the Bullet offers the highest quality and lowest prices in the country. Buy online, ship right to your door, and always made in the USA. Right now, Bite the Bullet will include 15 extra rounds on any order of 500 rounds or more. This is in addition to their everyday lowest prices. Just use promo code WAR. Order 500 rounds today and get 15 extra rounds free. Just go to bitethebullet.co and use the promo code WAR.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I was, because that was 1980, and $3.99 was a lot of money back then. But today, getting a meal that size for just $3.99 is a really great deal. So stop into a KFC and get yourself a pot pie. It's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra.
Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah said on Tuesday that he will retire when his term expires at the beginning of January 2019.
After much prayer and discussion with family and friends, I've decided to retire at the end of this term.
Hatch, 83, is president of the Senate. His position as the longest-serving member of the Senate places him third in line of the presidential succession. Hatch has served in the Senate for more than four decades. Record-breaking frigid temperatures across much of the United States may be to blame for at least eight deaths, according to authorities. Arctic cold plunged large areas of the plains, Midwest, South, and East into sub-zero temperatures over the weekend. Wind chills reached 50 degrees below zero in parts of the Dakotas and northern Minnesota. Forecasters said another bout of Arctic air is expected to cause temperatures to plummet later in the week. This is USA Radio News.
Give your conservative friends a gift that will inspire and inform. The finest conservative forum in the country comes to Phoenix this March 23rd. Top names in both national and local politics will be there at the Western Conservative Conference. Learn how you can make a greater impact for this country. Reserve your seat before the end of the year and get in for half off. Make plans now to attend the Western Conservative Conference March 23rd in Phoenix with half-price seating through the end of the year at westernconservative.org. That's westernconservative.org.
If you're unemployed and just can't find a job, or if you have a job but want a better one or one that more suits your career, you might want to try looking in another city. But what cities give you the best chance to find work? With more on that, here's USA's Tom Henchy.
Jill Gonzalez of WallaHub.com was on Trending Today with a report of the best cities to find a new job in 2018.
I mean, Arizona is really one of the states that immediately bounced back from the recession, or many cities were not as affected. And because of that, it really has been doing well in the job market. We see no signs of that stopping anytime soon. Four out of the top five cities, all in Arizona.
Jill also said the best sectors for jobs are in healthcare and in the STEM fields. For USA Radio News, I'm Tom Hinchy.
New research finds that Mexican cartels are now using drones to smuggle drugs into the United States. John Clemens has more.
The Washington Times reports Border Patrol agents are increasingly worried about the threat from drug cartel-operated drones after agents spotted 13 of them over a four-day period of time across one section of the U.S.-Mexico border. Mike Hale at CACI International tells the Washington Times their SkyTracker technology can use the radio frequencies of drones that can trace the location of the operator. I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And we're back with Michelle Heide today from Patton Heide Associates, talking about her passion for volunteering and working with clients who want to bring donations and volunteer their time into their life. And maybe you were listening to the ads, but it talked about jobs and what states or cities are best to find a new job. And the one thing I want to comment on is a lot of times if you can either use the skill set that you have to offer it up to a volunteer organization, like your accounting skills or your web skills, and especially with millennials or college students, it's a great way to develop skills without a lot of pressure if you get your feet wet. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. So for all of those that are listening, whether you're new to the job market or currently been in the job market, yeah, use those skills. Nonprofits are constantly looking for people with all levels of skill sets. And as Nicole, you mentioned earlier, you know, volunteering doesn't mean you have to, doesn't have to be a full-time job. You can give as much time or as little time as you have available, and organizations appreciate anything that you can give at this point in time.
Yeah, the other perspective that someone gave to me, too, was also that if you're an accountant and you want to go help a nonprofit, and they're like, oh, you can do our accounting and you can do our books, and the accountant might say, well, I do this all day long every day, so maybe, you know, I'd love to do some PR or host a fundraiser or do something different outside of my skill set to expand my skill set and just learn more and just be part of the organization that way. So you just have to figure out what you like to do or what you want to do, but that, you know, either use your skill set. There's an organization called Taproot in New York and I think several other cities where people are clamoring to volunteer for this organization. It's kind of like a conduit where they assess skill sets and what people want to do, and then they farm them out to various nonprofits. It's
very interesting. I love that.
Yeah, and it's the guy, I always forget his name, but he wrote the book The Purpose Economy.
Okay.
And so he's the one that started that. And so another book read for you.
Johnny wants book stamp.
I know, right? Well, we're going to have lots of book recommendations on this show, which actually segues us into our next book recommendation, which is Picture Your Prosperity, which you're very familiar with. It's by Ellen Rogan, I'm not sure how to say it, and Lisa Kung. Okay, so that's right. All right, well, and I met Lisa a couple years ago because we did a Picture Your Prosperity workshop at my house that you conducted and Lisa conducted.
Exactly.
Which, and being at the brand new year, everybody's thinking about New Year's resolutions, intentions, and a vision board is one really, really good way to set yourself up for what do you want to do in the new year and in the future. So maybe you can talk about your involvement with Lisa and Picture Your Prosperity and how those workshops work.
No, absolutely. And Nicole didn't mention this, but she's in the book.
Small cameo.
So several years ago, I was part of a, I don't know what you call it, sort of a study workshop group type of thing with Lisa. And, you know, she was just gathering information in terms of, you know, issues that female clients were looking for, some of the things that were important, some of the things that were not important, stories, all those types of things. And we were doing a workshop called Your Prosperity Picture. And then she and Ellen came out with the book Picture Your Prosperity. And what it is it's probably one of my favorite workshops to present because it's a lot of fun. It's very interactive. It's not just me up there talking at you. It's, Nicole, as you mentioned, it's working on putting together a vision board and, you know, setting things out into short-term, intermediate, and long-term, things that cost money, things that don't cost money. And, you know, we all know, and I always show the story that whip, you know, back in the day when I was in high school, my high school psychology teacher said, if there's something that you really want, you know, draw a picture of it, take a picture of it, cut out a picture of it, you know, and have it in front of you at all times and just, you know, constantly have it top of mind, and eventually you'll do what's necessary to get there. And so, you know, having a vision board is, you know, some people are like, oh, that's kind of floofy, blah, 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 but believe me, it works. And so the workshop is designed around the vision board, and it allows me to intertwine different aspects of financial planning within it, ranging from cash flow to understanding insurance programming, to understanding different types of retirement plans, the markets. You know, there's a big section in the workbook where we talk about the quilt chart, as we call it, which goes through all the different asset classes and how different things perform under different circumstances. So it's really a fun interactive workshop. And, you know, so Nicole and I have done several together, and part of my giving back to the community is every time that I do one of these workshops is I make a contribution to the nonprofit. So it's just, again, my way of saying, hey, if I can share this information with as many people as possible, and if each person learns even one new little helpful hint in helping with their financial situation, then that makes me feel good. So, you know, keep that, you know, positivity flowing around. So I'm actually going to be presenting at the Hunterdon County Library, so the main branch here on Route 12 on January 16th. And so I'm really excited about that. So folks can sign up through the library. There's no charge or anything like that. And just come prepared to interact and put together your vision board. All the materials and everything are provided. And you'll also get a workbook. And it's really, like I said, it's really a lot of fun. And these workshops are available, you know, as you mentioned, we hosted one in your house. I love doing them in people's houses. I'll present to as little as 5 people, to as many as, you know, however many people want to do it. But it's really a lot of fun. And if anybody's interested, they can feel free to reach out to me at 908-713-6600. I'd love to do one for you and your friends or your organization, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yep, my board is still hanging right above my desk with all the pictures. I did it, 2 or 3 years ago, and it's still, even if you, I look at it often, but it's still a reminder, even in the peripheral. It kind of guides you to your goals.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I love telling the story of when I was in sales and years ago, and I was really, I wanted to make this first big sale, I was excited about it. Or I knew it was in there. We had a really long selling cycle. So it wasn't like, oh, in 2 weeks, I'm going to make this sale. So I went, I didn't even remember this, but I went maybe 6 months ahead of my calendar and I wrote down on a date, first sale made or something like that. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have a picture, but if you write it down.
Right.
And then later when I was looking, I realized that same week was when I closed my first big sale.
Oh.
And it was just bizarre how that happens.
Yeah. That is bizarre. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So a picture is worth a thousand words and a thousand goals, and writing it down and having a picture.
Writing it down is so, so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can get to Michelle's workshop on the 16th, that's amazing. Or you can pick up the book, Picture Your Prosperity. I think the pictures are in here for, you know, making your own vision board on your own, mm-hmm. if you want to do that. And, but it's more fun to interact and learn too. So,
Yeah, it's fun learning about, you know, what people's goal, you know, different goals are. And, and it's for me, it's fun to see their faces light up and they're like, wow, I've always wanted to have, you know, a farm out in the middle of nowhere and have goats and chickens and, whatever their goal is. You know, I had another client, I just got a postcard from her. She and her 88-year-old mother went to South Africa and did a safari.
Wow.
And, you know, her postcard was like, thank you. If it weren't for you, we would have never been here. And I'm like, well, you did all the hard work. Like, you were focused. You knew what you wanted. You saved what you needed to save. And you had an experience. You and your mom had an experience of a lifetime.
But you helped guide her.
But I helped. I said, I was your pilot. I helped guide you. you did all the hard work.
I know. But sometimes you need an objective third party to kind of, you know, guide you and give you some feedback. And it's good, you know, bounce things off of. That's definitely good to have. So,
yeah.
So good for her. That's exciting.
Yeah. So it's fun to share stories like that. And speaking of which, you know, sometimes people look at me a little funny. I have my own financial advisor. Yes, I'm obviously very qualified to do this, but I need an objective person.
It's not Joe.
You know. Yeah, no, because he knows me too well as well. So we have our own financial advisor, and she's really good at helping us, you know, stay on target for what is important to our family. So
it's probably also fun because you have kind of like a peer review. You know, because you're both very well informed, and that's great, though. That's definitely good sound advice as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to do our commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Michelle Heide of Patton Heide Associates, talking about why she gives back and gives in her business and in her personal life. And you touched a minute ago on the four pillars, and I thought that was amazing. So can you tell me how you came up with the four pillars, or if you saw it somewhere, or how that came about?
Well, let's see. I didn't invent it myself, but a very dear friend of mine, Judy Rosenthal, taught me kind of the four pillars, because it was at a time in my business where I felt like there was so much going on and there just wasn't enough time to get everything done. I was feeling stressed and all that. And she said, well, let's break it down, you know, into the things that are important to you. And then every time someone comes to you asking you to do something, you kind of run it through the pillars and make sure that it's something that you want to do. And if not, you know, thank you for asking, but I don't have time for that, but it's something that I'll keep on my back of my mind for some point in the future, whatever the case may be. So whenever a new opportunity arises, I kind of have to siphon it through those four pillars to make sure that it's something that I can participate in, because just like you, when I do something, I want to give 150%. I don't want to just be a name on letterhead as being, you know, a member of a board or an organization or anything like that. I want to be able to give the amount of time and energy that it takes to doing something well. And so she taught me that, and it's something, you know, I have same thing. I have a picture of those four pillars hanging up, you know, in front of my desk.
Nice.
With a couple of little highlights as far as the things that are important to me to make sure that I continue to do on a regular basis.
Great. And what are the four pillars again? Let's remind everybody what those are.
So for me, it's family, community. So my business and, you know, along the lines of continued educational growth with my business, and then spirituality.
Okay, good. So those are your four pillars. And people need to take a few minutes and think about what's important to them. So is four the optimal number, or does it vary a little? I'm just curious.
Probably varies. Yeah. You know, people always say you shouldn't have more than three of certain things. But for me, I kind of wanted four because it was kind of a foundation.
Correct.
I guess because it was kind of a foundation. We've got the four pillars. Within each, there's kind of subsets. I mean, you can go crazy with all those things, but
it's good to focus.
It's good, again, to kind of keep the focus, because it's easy, because as you know, once you're involved in something, everybody wants you to be involved in, you know, so much more.
Well, they recognize you as a doer.
Right, exactly. You know, just like, you know, I always joke that, you know, yes, I'm still the room mom at school, even though I run a business, I do all these other things, but I find the time to do it, and I want to do it. I still make all of my kids' sports games. You know, it's rare that I miss one. Of course, I missed the one where my daughter made a great shot at the basketball game.
Wow.
But, you know, there will be more great shots at the basketball game.
Exactly. And that's what I tell people, too, because one of my friends was saying, well, I don't have time. I said, well, basically, you have time for what you make time for.
Absolutely.
And that's true.
Absolutely.
So if it's important to you, you'll be there, and you'll make it work. And, you know, and do some people do get in the habit of saying yes to everything, and they're all frazzled, and so you have to center and evaluate and learn to say no, which is fine, but also make time for what is important to you.
Because then the time goes by quickly, and if there's things that I can get involved with that my kids can participate in as well, then it fits the family, it fits the community, it fits, you know, a lot of different things.
Rightfully so, it takes time to identify some of that. And not
a
ton of time, but, you know, maybe 3 minutes of quiet meditation will kind of bring some clarity to you, whether it's in prayer or yoga or taking a walk or a hike, or regardless,
absolutely,
you have to just find. I mean, I know that the word balance gets so overused, but it is totally true.
Right.
You
got to
find
a
balance for what works for you and what works for other.
Absolutely.
Here we are at the beginning of January. I kind of touched on it earlier. So do you have any New Year's resolutions that you want to share?
Me, it's about finding more fun in my life. You know, I feel like I this past year I've been way too serious. And, you know, I've had fun. We did a great hiking trip. We did some smaller trips and things. But I feel like, you know, this is a year I need to kind of sit back and not be so serious, which I know might sound a little strange. And I also told Tracy yesterday, another one of my goals is to not bring work home with me anymore.
That's tough, I'm sure.
Which is tough. But I want to be, when I'm in the office, I want to be in office mode. And when I'm at home, I want to be in family mode. And I know that's not always possible all the time, but, you know, hey, it's worth a shot. And then what was my third thing? Now, the third thing also has to do with somewhat with business, is just to continue to make our office environment a fun, nurturing environment. I mean, each person in my office also is active in volunteering and giving back. And I think that's why we're so, you know, we're so happy and we work well together. We're a really good team, and I'm really fortunate for the people in my office and the clients that we work with. So,
yes. And your office is in a prime location in downtown Clinton, which is gorgeous. Oh, you've got the Hunterdon Art Museum. You've got the it's not the windmill. What is
the
it?
Red Mill.
Red Mill. And then you've got Choco DM, mm-hmm. if you like chocolate. That's right down the road. There's a bookstore. a lot of great food there. I think I went to a Thai place there once. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There. I mean, so if
Such
you need
great,
an excuse.
Great community. Exactly.
Yeah, if you need an excuse to go to Clinton, I would go.
Yeah. So, stop by the office. Say hi.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. I'm sure you have a Keurig. You can offer them some coffee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, are there any last words that you want to share regarding volunteering or financial planning?
Kind of a neat thing with kids. And it's funny, the first time you mention it to your kids, they're like, what? And a neat way to start getting them thinking about giving back is for their birthdays, saying, you know, in lieu of gifts, let's make a contribution. You get to pick the organization. You know, for my son, it's always something with animals. He just loves animals. But it's like, you know, do you really need more stuff? So why don't we, instead of having people, if people want to give you a gift, instead of giving you a gift, have them make a small donation to, you know, XYZ or whatever. And like I said, the first time we did it, it was a little hard. They're like, what do you mean we don't get gifts? I'm like, let's just do this. And now it becomes fun. Again, it's just a small step, which will hopefully, you know, over time continue to make them more aware of, especially where we live and how fortunate a lot of people are in our community. There are still people. I was at the food pantry a few weeks ago. It's amazing how many people are still homeless right here in Hunterdon County. And when I did my, every December I do a tea for female clients, and this year I asked them all to bring items to donate to the food pantry. Mm-hmm. I found out that they were low on things like coffee and tea and things like that, so I went over there with a bunch of boxes of some of those items, and I was chatting with one of the ladies, and she's like, yeah, right out there, they're homeless people, and it just breaks my heart.
And it's freezing. I mean,
and it's freezing. I want to, it's like, I want to run out and buy like these really super snuggly sleeping bags for all these people, you know, it's so sad. But you know, just like, you know, like both of us have said this show, you know, even if you don't feel like you have any time, find something you're passionate about, even if it's a couple minutes, an hour a week, an hour a month,
or just start thinking
about
it.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
yes. And if you, I'm going to do a shout out for the Princeton Community Works, which is coming up at the end of this month on January 29th from 5 to 9:15 PM. They've had it for about I think over a decade now. I've been for the last few years, and it's only $40, and it's from 5 to 9 p.m. on a Monday night, and they have over 400 nonprofits attend. So if you want to go, if you're involved in a nonprofit or want to learn more about nonprofits, they have all sorts of breakout sessions. The keynote speaker this year is a guy who won The Apprentice.
Oh.
What's his name? Let's see. Oh, cool. I think I wrote it down. Oh, yeah, Dr. Randall Pinkett.
Oh.
And so he is going to be the keynote speaker, and then they have all these breakout sessions. So it, I highly recommend, and it's fun to, it's not too far to drive down to Princeton, so I highly recommend that if anybody wants to check out PrincetonCommunityWorks.org.
Excellent.
Yes. Just a little bit more about it. They have fundraising, social media, breakout sessions, managing volunteers, public speaking, grants, managing your board, and the three R's of volunteer management: recruit, retain, and recognize. So there's over 20 breakout sessions.
Wow.
So for whatever your flavor might be, it's really a great time. And they give you a free box dinner. So, you know, dinner.
Actually, I have to get that on my account. I went a few years ago, but I haven't gone in a while. I think I'll have to.
And $40 is completely reasonable. And the sessions are amazing. So I will be there, and I will be there representing Room to Read. And I'm also hoping to recruit more guests for my show.
Good.
Because there'll be 400 nonprofit
people. Oh, absolutely. We'll have the next couple of years blocked out.
Yes. I'm very excited about all of that. Well, we've got about 1 minute to wrap up. And again, my name is Nicole Smith. The show is called Happy to Help. And I do have a Facebook page called Happy to Help, or you can find it at Happy Hunterdon is the key name. I'm not on Twitter yet, and I'm slowly working my way through social media, having my kids help me. But I am very happy to be part of the Hunterdon Chamber Radio team, and I'm thankful that Michelle could be here today to guide me through. She's a good guide person.
Oh,
she's my guide star. Helped me through this first show, and we had a lot of fun together.
Absolutely.
Yes, and so just bundle up and get ready for the snow. I think we're going to get dumped on.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
sure.
I hope they're wrong.
Yeah. Well, I have teenagers that do shoveling, so I just
oh, there you go.
Make soup and sit by the fire and put them to work. So it works out for me. So thank you so much for being here. It was
thank
really
you.
Fun.
Thanks for allowing me to be your first guest. This was a lot of fun, and I want to end with a little quote. You know, it's funny. They say it was a quote by Winston Churchill, but then if you go and search it, they're saying, oh, no, it wasn't Winston Churchill. It was, they don't know who it was. But anyway, it's the quote, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And, you know, that's something that I think both of us live by on a daily basis.
Yep.
So thanks again for having me as your guest today.
You're welcome. Thank you. And my favorite quote, as always, is if you want to be happy, help someone else.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Activists are upset over the deportation of two Christians. Here's the story from Mark Mayfield.
The two men were part of a group of four Indonesian Christians who were detained by ICE last month. One was deported 2 weeks ago, and a fourth man remains in detention. Immigration advocates say the four are part of a group of Indonesian Christians who came to the U.S. more than 15 years ago and have lived peacefully in New Jersey. All four have applied for asylum but were denied because they missed the deadline for applying.
New York Senator Chuck Schumer is calling on the Trump administration to increase their support in the fight against tick-borne diseases. Here's more on that story.
Senator Chuck Schumer said at a press conference at Central Park that laws can stop the spread of Lyme disease.
The good news is we passed a law last year. I was active working on it that would help us fight Lyme disease. The bad news is the federal government is doing nothing to implement it.
The tick-borne disease Powassan virus is worse than Lyme and is a disease in which victims need to be hospitalized immediately as massive